welcome back to it. Sorting out still the president's executive orders from Saturday, offering several different items because he says he could not get anything done with the Democrats, so he extended federal unemployment benefits at $400 a week, stopped interest and payments on student loans, among other things. Apparently not sitting well with Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who issued a statement making a number of complaints about the executive order. Seems unusual to me, considering 166 executive orders later, Governor Whitmer complaining about executive orders from the White House. For the most powerful voice for business in Michigan, the Michigan Chamber of Business Brief with Rich Studley. Rich is here, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Rich, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve.
It does seem a bit rich, you know. His executive actions yesterday do nothing to protect our kids from the spread of the virus. His refusal to provide full federal funding to states across the country to help us combat the virus will hurt the brave men and women on the front lines of the crisis, and so on and so forth. This comes from a governor who has issued, at last count, and I could have missed a few, 166 executive orders, but there's also executive actions, several more of those. I've lost track, but it seems a bit rich to me. Rich, what do you make of it?
Well, Steve, I think you make a very good point that across the country, we have seen governors, both Democrat and Republican, take extraordinary measures during the worldwide pandemic. It's been widely accepted by the news media and Democrats and Republicans and independents that chief executive officers have extraordinary authority to take actions. The president did try to negotiate with Congress. He was unable to reach agreement with U.S. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi from San Francisco, California, and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer from New York. Both of those states have Democratic governors that have issued one executive order after another, after another, after another, and there's literally no record of Chuck Schumer criticizing Governor Cuomo or Nancy Pelosi in California criticizing Gavin Newsom. So there seems to be some inconsistency or a double standard here. The president issued four executive orders, a federal eviction ban, a payroll tax suspension, relief for student borrowers, and $400 per week for unemployed people. And all of a sudden in Democratic circles, there's a real concern about the fairness, the accountability, the system of checks and balances that went out the window months ago.
Right.
So it seems like we're in a situation where what's good for the goose is not good for the gander.
I think you're exactly right. Now, in some states, Wisconsin, for example, the state Supreme Court there said the governor's actions there were not constitutional, so they were stopped, all the executive orders and lockdowns and mandates. In Michigan, the effort is an effort called Unlock Michigan. It's a petition drive to take away a lot of the governor's powers under a 1945 law where she has hung her hat, if you will, on these executive orders and all the power that she's keeping, and has now extended it into September with another emergency declaration. And all over Michigan, I guess you might have seen some of this with your own two eyes, very busy, these signature stations. Do tell.
Well, Steve, we've seen and heard reports all this weekend in northern Michigan and west Michigan, citizen volunteers standing on street corners, sitting at roadside tables, collecting signatures. And several of my colleagues, as we traveled around the state this weekend, have seen these volunteer locations. And one of my colleagues reported that he had to stand in line to learn more about the proposal. At the Michigan Chamber, we've not taken a position on this proposal. Typically, we wait to see if proposals qualify for the ballot, but there does seem to be a genuine grassroots volunteer-led movement gathering signatures across the state. This is a very important question. It's a question about our system of checks and balances. It's a question about whether the president, unable to work with Congress, can take action to provide COVID relief. The same question applies at the state level. Litigation, as you mentioned, is pending. So it's a very important public policy question here about checks and balances. I think what's stunning is it seems apparently that it's okay when Governor Cuomo does it. It's okay when Governor Whitmer does it. It's okay when Democratic governors in other states issue executive orders. But it's not okay for the president to do the same thing. There seems to be some real inconsistency here, but this is an important public policy question in Michigan. I would encourage your listeners to listen to both sides, to study the proposal, and to be prepared to review and comment on a petition, or perhaps even to vote in the fall if the question makes it on the ballot. We just don't know yet whether or not it will be on the ballot. And as you mentioned, there are lawsuits challenging the governor's authority here in Michigan still working their way through the courts.
Sure, and all over the country as well. Rich Studley here, the CEO and president of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. So Unlock Michigan would go to the ballot if they get the signatures. That would be a big question, wouldn't it? And I wonder how such a ballot measure would measure up in states like New York and California and elsewhere if they were put before the voters. What do you think about the governor having all of this power all over the country, right? And there is some question about whether the president can issue executive orders, although he said he was moving money that was unused from one place to another and not spending money because that's Congress's job. And there's some precedent for it, so I guess we'll see how it plays out. Rich, I'll give you the last word on this as to where we go from here.
Well, I think it's hard to argue that Democratic governors have unlimited authority to do whatever they want during a state of emergency, and somehow the president can't take similar action at the federal level. The Unlock Michigan proposal is one page only and one sentence only. So in comparison with other ballot proposals we've seen recently that go on for page after page after page, it's a very short, very direct, very clear proposal. And again, I would encourage your listeners to study the proposal, listen to the arguments for and against, and be prepared to sign or not sign a petition and perhaps to vote in the fall. I think the intent of Unlock Michigan is to go directly to the legislature where the proposal could be approved without a signature of the governor.
We'll see what happens. Rich Studley, greatly appreciated, president and CEO of the Michigan Chamber. Greatly appreciated as always, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Take care. Stay well.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.